This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. In his message titled Blessings from Obedience, Pastor Aaron shares these biblical truths. If we seek God's will for our lives, he will reveal it to us. And if we obey his will, he promises to bless us abundantly. This message was delivered on Sunday, April 22, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
Well, good morning, everybody. And I think you've noticed by now that Pastor Scott is not here this morning. He's usually running all over the place or sitting down here in the front row or out in the parking lot greeting people. If you're visiting us for the first time, we want to welcome you. And yes, I am not Pastor Scott Chiroma, if you were looking for him. He's, like I said, he's not here today. Every once in a while, and I get to be a part of this 12 times this year, I get to do the message so that he can actually go and take a break. You know, I was thinking about him taking a break and reminded me of this story. When I was up in Spokane, Washington, I was going to this church over there, and the pastor over there, I think I was at his church for like 3 years and never really saw him take a break. But one day, and he was an avid golfer, yeah, one day he gets this coupon in the mail for this beautiful, beautiful golf course about 120 miles away. And he always wanted to go there, never did get to, but he got this coupon, this certificate, for a free day of golf. Now here's the problem. This was Monday. And the only day that they were giving this to him, offering it to him, was on the coming Sunday. And it was already too late for him to schedule somebody else for him to speak at the church that Sunday. So he struggled with it. He put it on the side, but it was always on his mind the whole week, struggling with that certificate. Well, Saturday night came, and he was sitting there looking, staring at him in the face on the table. And he picked it up, and then he picked up his phone, and he called Pastor Rick, his assistant pastor, and he went, "Hello, Pastor Rick, hey, this is Pastor Joe. I am not feeling well. I know I'm not going to make it tomorrow. Would you fill in for me?" And of course, Pastor Rick said, "Yeah." And then he says, "And please tell everybody I am super, super contagious, so please don't come by for at least 3 days." So he hung up the phone and all night long couldn't sleep. He was feeling kind of guilty about it. Got up early the next morning, packed his golf clubs in the car, and took off before daybreak. And he's driving along, but every mile that he goes down the road, he's feeling a little less guilty about what he's doing. Gets to the golf course, and pristine Pacific Northwest morning. It was so beautiful. Checks in, gets to the first tee. And this hole is a 432-yard straightaway hole. He can see, it's so clear that he can see the flag down at the bottom of the hill. It's beautiful. And he's there thinking, "God gave me this beautiful day. It must be that he's saying it's okay for me to do this." So he lines up. Little did he know that God and the angel Gabriel was watching him. And Gabriel looked down, and then he looked at God, and he said, "You're not going to let him get away with this, are you?" God shook his head and said, "Nope." Well, Pastor Joe lines up on his ball, takes a deep breath, takes a good backswing, and then lets his hands fly. And it was the most perfect swing that he had ever taken. So good that he didn't even feel the ball when the club hit it. And his ball sailed straight down the golf course, 320 yards. Farthest he had ever hit it. Most perfect shot he had ever taken. And that wasn't it, because 320 yards down was the only rock protruding out of the ground. And his ball hit the rock in such a way that the trajectory sent it straight towards the hole. Another 100 feet in the air and 100 yards down. Landed on the fringe of the green. Took one bounce 20 feet from the hole and rolled directly into the cup. Gabriel looked at God and said, "What are you doing? That's not punishment, that's a reward." God looked at Gabriel and he smiled and he said, "Who's he going to tell?" Now, I don't know if that's a true story. That's the one that Pastor Rick told that day. to say where Pastor Joe was. Now I tell you that story not because Pastor Scott is golfing, okay? I know he's not golfing. He's not fishing, or at least I think he's not. Pastor Scott is actually, he's made a choice today on his day off to go and speak at another church. You know why? So that that pastor at our sister church can take a break. That's the kind of pastor, senior pastor that we have. Even when it comes to his choices, he chooses with others in mind. And I believe that's why this church is so blessed, because we get to serve with a leader, with a man who understands the power of choice. And I've always strongly believed that God wants us to understand and take hold of how important the choices we make really are. Choice is one of the most powerful gifts that we possess. And the truth is that we are free to make any choice that we want. We are. We can choose anything that we want. No one on earth can stop us, and God will not stop us. But here's the catch. Just like how every action has a reaction, every choice has a consequence. For every good choice, there are good consequences. For every bad choice, there are bad consequences. Now, I did a study on this, and you know that on the average person makes 600 choices every single day. 600. Now think about that for a moment. More than 600 choices every single day. Now imagine the consequences compounded by 600 bad choices. That's scary. But that, folks, is the power of choice. And I believe with all my heart that this is why we're here today. Because we have a God who loves us enough to not want us to live up to the consequences of bad choices. And he desires that we would even be a people who would impact the world with the consequences of good choices. Now, there's something I need you to understand. I'm talking about choices, not intentions. Okay, there's a big difference between making choices and having intentions. Someone once made a statement to me. He said this. He said that, and I'll never forget this. He said, it's the road that I'm on, not the intentions that I have, that determines my destination. Let me say that again. It's the road that I'm on, not the intentions that I have, that determines my destination. Well, this morning, I have the wonderful assignment of talking to you about one of those choices that we get to make every single day, maybe even 600 times a day, a choice that can lead us to the destination of blessing. In fact, I get to give you the key to having a blessed life. Have I got your attention now? I have. I know, because if there's one thing that we can all identify with, it's the desire to have blessing in our life, right? I'll even be so bold to say that many of us made the choice to be here today because we are looking to be blessed by God. We love to be blessed. Let me tell you something about the heart of my God. Just like any good and loving father, his desire is to bless his children. Look at what he states in Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That is the heart of the Almighty God. This is the plan that he has, not just for Jeremiah, not just for Pastor Aaron. It's a promise that he holds for each and every one of his children, a destination of prosperity and hope, of blessing. And if you haven't caught it yet, then let me spell it out clearly for you. The God of all the universe loves you so much that he wants to bless you. That's the absolute truth. Now, here's the catch. That blessing comes only through a powerful choice on our part. There's a story recorded in the book of Genesis, a story about a man named Abraham. And Abe, along with his wife Sarah, are very prosperous in everything that they do, yet they lack one thing in their lives. Actually, they lack the one thing that they desire most. You see, they don't have children. So they cry out to the Lord, and God hears them. He gives them the promise that one day they're going to have a son. Well, time goes by, years and years, and the crib's still empty. They grow impatient, and just like you and I would, they even try to take matters into their own hands. They try to make it happen for themselves. But well after they've given up hope, when Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90, she conceives. And they finally have their son of God's promise. His name is Isaac. But that's not the end of the story. Because some years later, the unimaginable happens. God tells Abraham that he has to sacrifice his son. Now, I don't know about you, but if I get blessed with something that I've been waiting for 100 years, and I hear a voice say, go destroy it, you know what I say? My first words is, that's not God. And I know that's yours too. Here's the difference between Abraham and us. It's that Abraham knows the voice of God. Because I have no clue what's going through his mind. But Abraham obeys. And to make a long story short, he has Isaac sprawled out upon the altar. He's ready to drop the knife on him. And at the last minute, the angel comes by and stops him. And this is what the angel says. He says, this is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Why? All because you have obeyed me. So Abraham's faced with this unimaginable choice. And may God forbid that we ever are placed in that situation. But through his decision to obey, blessings flow. And not just for him, not just for his family, but a blessing that we still take part in till this very day. Earlier I told you that I would be giving you the key to blessing, and here it is. Would you write this down in your notes? Obedience is the key that opens the door to God's blessing. Obedience is the key that opens the door to God's blessing. Now, I'm going to pause here for a moment because I want to address something before I move on. Because I know that when some of you heard this word, obedience, maybe more than just some of you, many of us had a shudder go down our spines, right? Many of us turned off because we don't like that word, do we? And we don't like that word because somehow, some way, in today's world, that word's been associated with slavery. And to obey someone's will today means that you open yourself up to being taken advantage of or used for their agenda. And today's world, and in today's world, it's probably true. But this is what I want you to know today, beyond the shadow of all doubt. It's that when we surrender to the will of the living God, when we choose to obey the heart of the loving Father, it's not slavery. It's true freedom. Because His will and His agenda, like I just read, is for our good, for our hope, and our future. Obedience to God's heart actually sets us free. Sets us free from having to do the things that destroy us. And in its place, gives us the right to choose to do the things that bring prosperity. Obedience to God does not shackle us. It frees us up to make the choices that bring blessing. Make sense? You see, every day, in every situation that we're faced with, we are confronted with a choice. We can do what we want to do, or we can do what God wants us to do. He leaves the choice up to us to decide. And truthfully, we can measure the scales of how much we've been blessed simply by measuring how we've been obedient to what He's asked us to do. So often, someone will approach me to tell me how messed up their life is, and they just can't understand why. A very good friend of mine, Pastor Charlie Kama, He answered this one for me in one of his messages when he said, too often we want God's will in our lives, but we also want our will in our lives too. And that just doesn't work. You know what we really want? When we pray to God, thy will be done, we're really asking him to change his will to become our will. A lot of the times we do that, yeah? You know what? That's not praying thy will be done. That's praying my will be done. And that doesn't work. The reason why we get so messed up, why we miss out on so many of God's blessings, is that our will usually wins. Folks, obedience is the key that opens the door to God's blessing. And he won't give us that key unless he knows that we'll be responsible enough not to squander what he has in store. That's why he requires it of us. Not because he's out to get us, but because he loves us enough to want us to get to the place where we'll appreciate, not just appreciate, but we'll make the best of the blessings that he has. I'm going to share with you three things this morning. Three things that we should all know about obedience. But before I do, let me ask you this question. In this season of your life, what is God asking you to do? In this season of your life, right here and right now, what is God asking you to do? Do you know? You see, we cannot begin to receive God's blessing if we're not obedient to him. But before we can do that, before we can act upon obedience, we have to know what he's asking us to do. And that's number one, that obedience is always an informed choice. Obedience is always an informed choice. Seems that the number one reason or excuse that we give for not obeying God is that we don't know what he wants. Now, if you come to me into counseling, expect this, that somewhere in the beginning of our session, I'm going to ask you, what is God asking you to do? You know, 10 out of 9 times when I ask that question in counseling, I get this response: I don't know. And that's the very reason that we're in counseling in the first place, because we don't know what God is asking us to do. And we don't know why? Because we're not listening to him. Hey, I get into trouble too. Everyone who knows me knows that I have a hearing impediment. Not that I cannot hear, it's that I don't listen. My hearing is 20/20. It's that sometimes I just don't listen. The truth is that this is the lamest excuse in the book, because for thousands of years, God's been trying to tell us his heart so that we can obey. And if we don't know it, it's not because he hasn't told us. It's because we haven't taken the time out to listen. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Apostle Paul was writing this to one of his disciples named Timothy. You know what he was telling him? He's telling Timmy, know your word. Know what God says, because it's useful for everything in your life. Listen and learn. And this is why the very same reason why this church encourages everybody to get into the word. It's why we keep pushing for daily devotion, so that we will be in a place in every situation we are faced with to do what God wants us to do. To be in a place where no matter what the circumstances are, that we can obey and step into the blessings of God. He will not withhold his heart from you if you choose to seek it. I promise you that. You know, it's like, I think about it like this. What if a young kid came up to me and said, hey, Pastor Aaron, I want to be a pastor like you one day? I tell him, you crazy. No, I would start to tell him all the things that I get to do and all the things that I've done in the past to help me to get to where I am today. Hopefully, him jotting that down, writing it on his heart so that he would not make the same mistakes I've made, that he would prosper in the things that he gets to do. Now, what if he just, I know he's not listening, he just looks at me and he's just there for the show. And then he walks away and I know he got nothing out of it. I'm never going to tell him anything again. But what if he sits down and starts looking at me, making eye contact and looking at me intently and listening to everything that I'm saying? And I know he's getting it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start telling him more. But what if he busts out on paper, pad, and pen and starts taking notes on what I'm saying? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start making stuff up. I'm actually going to give him every piece of knowledge that I have. Same thing when it comes to God. When we sit with him in his word and we start listening to what he has given us for thousands of years and we start writing it down, God opens up the floodgate of knowledge to our obedience. Get it? Good. Jesus put it like this. He said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open." Folks, if you don't know what God is asking specifically of you, then ask him. Yes, it is that simple. You have not because you ask not. In the first part of John, chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus puts an exclamation point on it by saying this. He says, "Whoever belongs to God hears what God says." God is always speaking. The question is, are we listening? We cannot begin to receive his blessing if we're not obedient. We cannot begin to be obedient unless we know his heart. Obedience is an informed choice. Number two, obedience is an active choice. Obedience is an active choice. It isn't merely hearing with good intention. Intention gets us nowhere. Allow me to reiterate. It's the road that I'm on, not the intentions that I have, that determines my destination. And obedience is exactly like that. It's in hearing and following it up with action that gets us to the blessing. Listen to Jesus say it. He says, "Tell me what you think of this story. A man had two sons. He went up to the first and said, 'Son, go out for the day and work in the vineyard.' And the son answers, 'I don't want to.' But later on, he thought better of it and he went. Father gave the same command to the second son. And he answered, 'Sure, glad to.' But he never went. Which of the two sons did what the father asked?" You know, I remember one time my dad, I was sitting with him in church, and the pastor read this scripture. And he leaned over to me, and he said, "You're the first son. Every time I ask you to do something, your face comes sore. And I know your body language tell me you don't like do them. Plenty of times you even tell me no. But then later on, you go and you do them anyway." And I'm going to tell you what he said about my brother. But later on, then he leaned, and I thought that was funny, I laughed. Then he leaned over and he said, "You know what? Next time I ask you to do something, just skip the drama and go do them." Which of the two sons did what the father asked? And I think that everybody who hears this story for the first time thinks this. They think, is this a trick question? This is a no-brainer. It's the one who did what the father asked. You know why Jesus asked this no-brainer question? Because obedience is not a brain thing. It's an action thing. And it's not dependent upon how we feel about what's been asked of us. It's dependent about what we do about it. You see, true obedience is not when we do something that we do something we're asked to do that we wanted to do anyway. Does that make sense? True obedience is not when we do something that we're asked to do that we want to do anyway. True obedience is when we're asked to do something we don't want to do, and we do it anyway. Let me be real with you for a moment. This walk with Christ does not mean that everything is a bed of roses. There are going to be some really big challenges, especially when you see everybody else in the world doing something that God has asked you not to do. And then there are many times when He'll ask us to do something that we just don't want to do. You know, sometimes it's so difficult for me to follow the Lord until I remember that God knows what He's doing and that He's got the plan for my life, the plan with a blessing at the end of the road. And then I remember that I've got the easy job. All I have to do is listen and act. I remember always telling my kids when they were growing up, "You guys got it easy. All you got to do is listen to me. That's all you got to do." Then I remember God like tapping me on the shoulder and saying, "Aaron, you get them easy. All you got to do is listen to me." John 13:17 sums it up well. There he writes, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And then number three, obedience is always the best/blessed choice. Obedience is always, always the best blessed choice. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses is making his final address as the leader of the people of Israel. It's his last will and testament, and he's not wasting his breath on the minors. He's going over the things that are really, really important. And this is what he tells them. He says, "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed." Basically put, he's saying that if we listen and do what God is asking us to do, everything in our lives will be blessed. But he doesn't stop there. There's something just as important to be said about the flip side. In verse 15, he continues. He says, "But if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commands and decrees that I am giving you today, all these curses will come and overwhelm you. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be cursed. Your children and your crops will be cursed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be cursed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be cursed." Now that's the scary part. The difference between blessing and curse. And again, basically put, he's saying that if we choose not to listen to God, then everything in our lives will be cursed. It all comes back to the power of choice, doesn't it? Whether we live blessed lives or not doesn't depend on God's heart towards us. He's already desiring to open the door that leads to blessing in our lives. It really depends on our choice to obtain the key to the door, the key called obedience. Obedience is the best. Obedience is the blessed choice. Amen? Now I'm going to wrap up this story with this message with one last story, but don't put away your notes yet. And since I started off with a golf story, I'm going to end with one. Yeah, I used to golf. You know, I'm just about everything that I've done and chosen to do in my life, I've gotten really good at it. Lots of different things, whether it be baseball or football or running machinery. One of the things that I could never get was golf. But there was a season in my life where golf was my outlet. When I was full-time up at the big church, golf was my outlet. And I, you know, used to enjoy going, even though I wasn't very good at it. I tell you what, I made the most of the golf green fees because I stayed on that course for a very long time. But one of the things I did enjoy was just getting out there by myself and, you know, chasing that white ball around. Gave me a lot of time to think, gave me a lot of quiet time, even gave me time to just talk story with God as I would golf along. Well, there was this one day towards the end of that season that I went through where I went over to Nani Loa. Was my day off, and my day off was automatic. I'm going golfing. But that day, you know, it was drizzling a little bit, and I really didn't feel like going. And there were several times while I was driving down there where I said, no, I'm just, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going home. But in one of those times, I felt God say, no, today, you go. And so in obedience to him, I went. And even as I got out to that first tee, and I'm stretching out and getting ready, I'm still thinking and looking for an excuse to go home. It was like God was prompting me and saying, no, you stay here today. This is what I want you to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. So I stayed. Now, just before I'm getting ready to go and hit my first ball, this guy comes running out onto the golf, crazy look in his eye. I can tell he's real hyperactive. And he comes up and he says to me, hey, you alone? Can I golf with you? And I'm just about to think up an excuse of why I couldn't golf with him. And I felt God say yes. And so reluctantly, I said yes. Now, he didn't know me. I didn't know him. And usually my quiet time was just ruined because by the time we got to the first green, I knew his whole life story. This guy, and I'll call him Eddie. Eddie just didn't shut up. Eddie was, he told me where he was. I knew where he was from, where he was born, where he grew up, why he moved to Hilo, Hawaii, his family history, which one of the reasons why he moved was he wasn't doing too well with his parents. Their relationship wasn't really good. And then by the time we got to the second hole, I knew that he was a Christian. I knew what church he was going to. I just knew almost everything about him. And then at the third hole, he kind of stopped and he said, looks at me and says, are you a Christian? And just to keep him from talking about me, I just told him, yep, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, right on. And then he went on talking about himself again. Now, at the fifth hole, I'm listening to his story, and it's kind of getting a little bit depressing, and I'm kind of sensing that this guy's going through something. And then he tells me this. He says, at your church, are you guys having water baptism soon? And I told him, you know what? We just had water baptism last week, so it's not going to come around again for like another 3 months. And he said, you know, oh man, my church too just had water baptism. But you know, I've been feeling it on my heart all week that I just went through some really bad stuff. And now I really want to rededicate my life to the Lord. And I want to start walking straight with him again. And I really feel that I should be water baptized. He said, that's one of the things I've never done. Been a Christian a long time. Never got water baptized. And he said, I really wanted to. But I asked my pastor, and he's been trying, but he's really busy, and all the other guys are busy too. Right then and there, I realize what God is asking me to do. Here's the problem. Light-colored shorts, dark beverages. Now, it's super easy to do because I know right across the street from Nani Loa is Reed's Bay. And I'm only golfing 9 holes, so for the next 4 holes, this guy's still talking about things and talking, you know, bringing up water baptism again and again. And I'm just struggling with it for 4 holes, making every excuse in the book why we cannot do this. Now, here's the thing. I haven't told him that I'm a pastor yet, okay? At the eighth hole, he asked me, you know, he says, you know, I've been talking all about myself. I don't even know what you do. So I told him I work for the church. Oh, it's good. What do you do? I'm an assistant pastor. And his jaw just drops. And he's like, oh, man, I'm so blessed. I've been getting to play with a pastor, and I didn't even know. And after that, the last hole was really pleasant. And we just talked and we laughed. But I'm still struggling inside with what God is asking me to do. So much so that we get out into the parking lot. I shake his hand, see him to his car. I load my clubs in the car, and I jump in my car. And I even start it up. And then I feel God's prompting again. I say, okay, Lord, I know. I drive up to his window. He rolls down his window. I say, hey, you ready to get baptized? And he said, what? I said, are you ready to get baptized? We'll go right across the street and we do it right now. And here's this grown man, and he just starts bawling, starts crying. And he says, thank you, Pastor. And then he drives across the street. Just then I go to reverse, so I kind of look in my back. And guess what? In my back seat, there's my duffel bag with the swim shorts that I left inside there and a towel from the week before. I can just hear God laughing. Drive across the street, and, you know, right there, I'm all good. And I say, God, you good. You're so good. We go across the street, and, you know, this was about 4 years ago, so if you saw a picture in the Tribune Herald of two guys hugging each other inside Reed's Bay. That was me, and that's what we were doing, okay? Well, after we were over, he was so grateful. I mean, he wanted to pay me and everything, and I told him, no, brother, I've received my reward in full today that we got to do this, and I've enjoyed the time with you. You know, I never saw him again. Hilo being a small place, you would think I would run into him again. But I never did. It's been about 4 years. About a year and a half later, I ran into his pastor. And we were talking story. And then he said, hey, you remember Eddie? And I said, yeah. And he said, thank you so much for doing what you did. That was huge, yeah? I said, yeah, that was a big thing. He said, you know, ever since then, Eddie has been a wonderful person. He's healed relationships. He's become very active in our church. He's serving like crazy. He's doing really, really well. And I said, that's great. And he said, amazing, yeah, that God put you in his life on that day. And I looked at him, and I sensed that he was trying to push something more upon me, but I just didn't understand. And so I just nodded my head. And then he looked at me, and he saw that the look in my face. And he said, you don't know, do you? I said, know what? And he said, Eddie was going to kill himself that day. Wow. And he prayed to God, and he said, Lord, if you want me to stay alive, then I want to be water baptized today. That's what he said. Man. I think about that day often. I've heard it that he's gone home, back to the mainland. He's repaired things with his family, and his dad wasn't doing well, so he's spending the last times with him there. But I just don't want to imagine what would have happened if I did not say yes to the Lord that day. Well, here are two questions that I want you to take with you, your bottom line for today. The first is this. What is God asking me to do? What is God asking me to do? And the second, the important one, what am I going to do about it? What is God asking me to do? And what am I going to do about it? That's your homework for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, for the rest of your lives. To always be asking yourself this question. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to come before you right now. And we want to thank you for all of the blessings that you have given in our lives. Not one of those blessings have we earned, Lord. It's because we serve a good God, a loving Father, that these blessings come about. Now, Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us. And Lord, I pray that we would do our part, that you would do your thing and allow us to be obedient to do our part. I know there's so many things that we struggle with, Lord. So many things. But we don't want to struggle with what you're asking us to do. So, Father, we pray your will be done in our lives. Not my will, Lord, but thy will. You do your thing and allow us to be obedient to do our part. And don't let us struggle with it. Father, what are you asking me to do this week, today, this year? The big things and the small things, Lord. Please let us know. And then, Lord, prompt us to be obedient to doing your will. Because we know that's the key to blessing. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16675 Milo Street, Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeasthawaii.com.